and welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello and welcome, Ed.
Hi, Jennifer. You know, actually, I don't think I've ever told you this.
Uh-oh.
You know, when I when the program comes out on Sunday... I send an email out to a few kind of Southwestern University kind of VIP folks.
Uh-huh.
And you know what the heading always is?
No.
Because, you know, Sunday, if you spell out Sunday, it's
S.
So I type out a capital S and a capital U, and then the rest of the unday is lowercase. And it says, if it's Sunday, it must be South SU and higher ed.
Is that like, if it's Sunday, it must be
Meet the press. Exactly. I stole it from Tim Russert. May he rest in peace. That's right. So if it's Sunday, it must be SU and higher ed.
It must be SU and higher ed. So higher ed, I want to harken back to something that you said in a previous episode that I found kind of shocking somebody who experienced many moments of anxiety during my formal education time. We were talking about learning. And I brought up the concept of, I think we're talking about taking courses outside of your comfort zone. And I said, but how do you help students through that who may feel anxious or worried and experience anxiety if they're trying something new? And you said, I don't let anxiety into my learning process. It's not useful to me. And I said, what? What? How do you not let it in? I was shocked, but also kind of excited to hear more about that. So talk about... leaving, you know, talk about how you get anxiety out of your process. Because for so much of us who've been through school, pressure of grades and getting it all done, there's a lot of anxiety in there.
And by the way, this is another example where it's evidence that we have not scripted these episodes, because I just will make a flip comment like that.
Right, so, you need to be careful because...
I forget. And all of this is off the record, I'm assuming, right?
Oh, right. Nobody's going to hear this. Right. So, right. No worries.
So let me try to bring some context to whatever I meant to say. First of all, when I was very young, I was very anxious about grade. I was a real grade person.
Uh-huh.
I was definitely kind of going toward the trophy and the prize. And I took grades very seriously, and I think that I did have a lot of anxiety. And, by the way, when I was really young, I had all sorts of learning issues,
mm-hmm.
Dyslexia and things like that, which back then they really didn't quite identify. And so it was difficult for me just to kind of get through formal education, because it was designed more for a certain type of learner. I was a different type of learner. Anyway, so there was a lot of anxiety going through the pike, I guess by the time I got to college, it was kind of all ironed out. But when you're talking about me now and how I don't believe in anxiety, which is true, it's a true statement, and you said, well, what can we do? The answer is get a PhD in mathematics.
Okay.
Really.
Well, let me just go out and do that.
Yeah, because I will say that when I finished my PhD, I realized that nothing was going to frighten me.
After getting a PhD in math.
If you can get a PhD in math, and by the way, this might be true in other subjects. I haven't earned a PhD in other subjects, but I'm speaking just from my own personal experience. You get a PhD in math, I defy you, I mean, except if you're going to do me physical harm, to frighten me. You can't frighten me with anything that's, because I've gone through it. I've gone through that gauntlet.
You've been through the math fire.
Exactly. Now, it's interesting, though. Anxiety, I want to put the concept of anxiety, though, on its head.
Okay.
So about a month or so ago, I was invited to give a keynote address at a conference for educators in the medical arts. So these are people that teach at medical schools and medical professional type schools. And during the Q&A, and I was talking about effective thinking, a lot of things that you and I talk about. And during the Q&A afterwards, one of them said, can you talk about grades? And we actually had an episode on grades recently.
Yes.
Can you talk about grades, because it's making people very anxious? And what do you think? And we, in this medical organization, we're talking about whether things should be pass-fail or for a grade. What is your opinion? And there, I said, again, very flippantly, I said, actually, I think you should have grades, and I think anxiety is good.
What?
Because if you're producing someone who's going to go into the medical arts, who's going to become a surgeon or a nurse or a doctor or whatever it is, when they're going to be in OR, when they're going to be in the emergency room, I want them to be able to deal with stress and deal with anxiety and be able to overcome those emotions. I mean, basically what my PhD in mathematics did for me was it taught me how to overcome the anxiety that we all naturally have. So I don't let that get in the way. And that's what I think I said. I don't let that get in the way. We all have it. The question is, do you ignore it? Mm-hmm. Do you overcome it? Or do you let it eclipse everything that you do? And certainly people who are have given themselves to the profession of saving other people's lives, they're going to be very anxious and be under the gun, and they have to be able to kind of get over that and react and act appropriately. So I said, absolutely. The other thing is, if you do a pass-fail thing, I think it lowers the bar. And it says, okay, well, you know, you got a 63. That's good enough. You can now become a doctor. I want my doctor to get a really high grade. And so I like the idea of having high standards, and I like the idea of forcing people to realize those high standards, and that anxiety could be helpful if it is, in fact, harnessed in a positive way. These people pointed out that there's high suicide rates, actually, in people in the medical arts and graduate school because the pressure is so fierce. And so I suggested, again, naively, that maybe there should be part of their education should be how to deal with stress, how to deal with anxiety, and to further improve them as human beings.
So the idea is that the actual experiencing of the grades themselves is another tool, another way for them to learn how to be proficient in their field, because they're learning how to handle getting low grades. They're learning how to work to maybe get
overcome
those grades higher.
Overcome adversity. I mean, we all have adversity in our lives. The question is, how do you overcome them? And that should be part of your formal education, is to empower you to overcome the adversity that you're going to face.
That's such a fascinating way to think about when anxiety comes in. And I love it when you said, you know, anxiety is going to be there, so do you ignore it? Do you overcome it? Do you sort of let it take over? There really is a range of choice there. And it's kind of up to us to
we choose.
You know, this subject is really challenging. I've never done it before, but I'm really interested in it. So I'm, you know, it's going to be challenging. I may not do that great in the grade department, but I'm ready, you know.
And that's what I meant by the statement whenever I made that, which is that I choose not to have anxiety eclipse my thinking or my creativity as much as I'm able to. And I try to control that and use that to empower me to do something rather than to have that guide me and follow that anxiety.
So what I'm wondering is, how early in our students' formal education does it make sense to start talking about the concept of anxiety? Do we want to go into kindergarten classrooms say to five-year-olds, now some of this is going to be tough, but you can do it? And I mean,
a great question. That's a really interesting question, because the answer is not, I don't think we should be. I mean, this pushes against my philosophy, which I've shared with you and our listeners before, that learning should be joyful and fun and uplifting and wonderful. And here I am saying, and anxiety is good. I think anxiety is something that maybe you inject as people kind of mature into it. But I think that certainly in kindergarten and elementary school, I do not believe in anxiety. We're still developing ourselves, and we should be given ourselves the free range of opportunity to really see education as joy. Because ideally, anxiety could be joyful. It could be empowering. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm so nervous. Like before you go on and give a big presentation, your heart is racing.
There's adrenaline. You're
exactly. And that's exciting and that's wonderful if you think about that in a positive way. The problem is that sometimes people see anxiety as kind of shutting down and closing yourself down rather than opening yourself up. And I think there's a certain amount of maturity involved. So it's a great question. When do you start to inject that anxiety? Whether it's test taking, I mean, we have the STARS test here in Texas, and I mean, when do you start to put these poor young people through a mill where they have to start to be anxious?
Or even when do you start raising it as a concept? Because, you know, in and of itself, a test doesn't have to be anxiety producing if you approach it in a certain way. So let's take the concept of standardized tests. You know, when we talk about those in our house, we say it's part of what happens. It's not the be-all and end-all. You know, relax, get a good night's sleep, do your best, you're smart and you've studied, it's probably going to be fine. You know, we try to put it in a realistic context.
Well, I do the opposite, actually.
What do you say?
Well, when I'm teaching a calculus,
yeah,
we have them do homework, which happens all semester. They're in their dorm rooms or in their bedrooms, whatever. They're doing it at their pace. They're watching TV. They're listening to the internet, whatever it is, right? And then how do we make the big assessment? We put them in a room, sit them in a chair, give them a piece of paper. You have 50 minutes, go. And now it's timed. And so all of a sudden there's math anxiety because they've never been trained. So in my classroom, I will give them low stakes or zero stakes exercises where I force them to be anxious. So I say to them, hurry up, hurry up. You have 30 seconds. Do this right now. You have 30 seconds. And I yell at them while they're doing it. Come on, hurry up. Go faster.
This is like a coach.
Right. Because that way, when they are able to overcome that anxiety, then they can do it on the exam when it counts. Versus at home, when it's leisurely, they can look in the book and they can relax. I try to make them unrelaxed. I try to create anxiety. And as a result, when they can overcome it for the zero stakes, they can then overcome it for the real stakes.
When it's the real thing.
Exactly.
So I am approaching this week's puzzler with, I think, a healthy amount of anxiety.
Yeah.
Not too much.
I've got a great one,
but
I got to tell
ready.
You, actually, you know, this gets back. I was telling you about going to the medical arts. I was keynoted at this medical convention thing. This is a puzzler that I like the math, but not the story.
Okay.
It involves cigarettes, and I'm very anti-cigarettes. I'm very anti-smoking. Can I say that on KUT?
You can say that.
Okay. It's my opinion.
It's your opinion, and you can say that.
Yes.
So I that's, like the, smoking. That's the where this story's going to come from, where this puzzler comes
from. Exactly. So you have to understand. Okay. So, and I don't know much about cigarettes, so you have to help me on this, too.
Well, I don't know a lot either. But
okay. I don't smoke.
Well, I don't either. We'll both give this
a
try.
So there's a person who refuses to buy cigarettes but likes smoking. And so what this person does is this person actually collects cigarette butts, which are kind of the last little bit of the cigarette, and finds these cigarette butts on the ground. And it turns out that if this person collects 4 cigarette butts, that person could kind of take out the tobacco and actually build a complete brand new cigarette.
Okay.
And kind of roll his or her, I don't know the gender of this person's own cigarette and then smoke it.
Okay.
So 4 cigarette butts actually equals kind of a cigarette.
Okay.
So the question is, suppose the person finds 16 cigarette butts.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, how many cigarettes can this person make and then smoke? That is the riddle, and I do not endorse cigarette smoking at all. But it's an interesting mind game.
It is, because it seems like there's an obvious math answer.
Listen, sometimes I'm not always... I don't always give you a hard one.
No.
Sometimes they're, I try to...
But I also tend to think there might be something else at play here. So I'm going to puzzle
over
this one.
I was talking to some folks who listen to us, by the way, out of town. And this one woman was saying, I love these puzzlers, and they drive me crazy.
Well, there's an example of maybe what we might call some healthy anxiety. I mean, I think it's okay to be challenged by things in the classroom.
You have to be anxious, though.
I think that's where... us choosing how to respond really comes into play of, so, the math puzzler might be challenging. I may not know the answer right away, but I'm going to try to keep my blood pressure from going up when I figure out the answer. And I also keep it in the context of, this is just fun. We're doing this for fun. Nothing hinges on this. Other than,
And I wish that people would see formal education that way. And I know, and we've talked about this in previous episodes recently, that, grades are there because you want to go to law school or medical school or graduate school or get a job. And so the grades are important. But wouldn't it be wonderful if people looked at their education as pure fun, intellectual joy, and to strive for the best grade that they're able to, but not to have that eclipse through anxiety, their actions, in particular, the courses they elect to take. A lot of students will avoid classes that interest them because they're not, I'm not good in that. I'm not good at painting, so I'm not going to take a painting class. I'm not good at math, so I won't take the math class. That's a shame if those particular pursuits are of interest to the student. The student's missing out, and that's a problem.
Well, we hope that nobody misses out on these higher ed episodes. Thank you, Ed, for helping us keep our brains sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brains busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.